Responding now to Zophar, the third of his three friends. And his response to Zophar is longer than any of his other responses. It entails three chapters. And we were in Job chapter 12 last week. We got about halfway through the chapter as we looked at Job's response. Again, Job suffering under the hand of the devil at the permission of God. And as we've learned, as the Bible teaches, there's nothing that can happen to us that doesn't happen without God's permission. And that ought to be a comfort to us. Even though some of the things that happen are not comfortable, it should be a comfort to us to realize that everything that happens, happens by the permissive will of God. And God has promised He'll not tempt us above that which we're able. And so anything that happens to us, God feels we can handle. And so if God feels we can handle it, then we should be able to handle it. Roberto, okay? You all right? Okay. Need to put one back there closer. All right, so Job chapter 12, verse number 12. We looked at the first 11 verses of this chapter and saw Job's response. I like what he said in verse number 2, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." His sarcasm, he's going to continue that as he gets on farther here. But in verse number 12, Job makes this statement, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding." Now, some put verse number 12 with the first 11 verses and say that it's speaking of older people. Of course, with experience and with age, many times comes wisdom. The sad thing is, sometimes with age and experience, wisdom doesn't come. And that's a sad condition. For somebody that's been through a lot of things and lived a long time and not learned anything from it, and sad to say, it's possible to do that. Aged men are not always wise, the Bible says. But here it says that with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. And so they say that this is talking about growing old and wiser, the longer your days are. But the problem is, when you get to verse 12, it says with him, and the him is referring to the ancient in wisdom in verse number 12. And verse number 13 says with him, and refers to him. And verse 14 continues on with he, and this can't be a man, because these statements are not consistent with man. So the ancient in wisdom in verse 12 has to be a reference to God. And in length of days is not misleading or confusing, because God has length of days. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's a lot of days. He's the beginning and the ending. That's a lot of days. And so in human terms, He has length and number of days. And Job is describing Him that way. And again, the proof that he's referring to God, it says in verse 13, "With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding." Now again, that could be in a reference to man, because man could fill that bill. But verse 14 says, "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again." That's not man. It's God that took down the Tower of Babel, and it was never built again. It's God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're underwater now. All right, when God destroys something, it won't be built again. When God builds something, it won't be destroyed. He's established His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right, when God establishes something, it won't be destroyed. When He destroys something, it won't be built again. God has power over construction. And he said, so Job says about him, "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again." Now, if God declares something can be built again, it can be built. But if he declares it won't be, it won't be. He said about Jericho, he said, if it's built again, it'll be built on the blood of its builders. And it was. It was built again. He gave permission to do it, but he gave the condition, and the condition came to pass. You're not going to beat God at what he says. And it's futile to even try, and yet there are people in our day still trying, thinking they can get around God, around what He says. They disbelieve what He says, and it makes it untrue. And they're going to find out the hard way that God has power over everything. He says at the end of verse number 14, He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. The prime example of that is hell. Once man is cast into hell, once an individual is cast into hell, there's no getting out. He takes the captives at His will. And so falling into the hands of God is a fearful and an awesome thing. And Job understands that, and he says that when He shuts up a man, there can be no opening. When God fences a man in, there's no way out. And of course, when we think about Job and the protection he had at the beginning of the book, who would want out? But here Job talks about the power of God. His power, He's omnipotent. That's the $5 word we use to describe God. It's not a biblical word, but it's a biblical precept. He's all-powerful. There's nothing God cannot do as far as His power is concerned. He says in verse 15, Behold, He withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. We were in Psalm 66 Wednesday night, and it talked about this same thing. Drying up the waters when He dried up the Red Sea and caused the children of Israel to pass over and walk on dry ground. And the Bible repeatedly, throughout the Old Testament, even into the New, the Bible repeatedly refers to that occurrence. It's not a one-time mentioned thing in the book of Exodus. It happened in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were departing from Egypt, but it's mentioned here, it's mentioned in Psalms, it's mentioned repeatedly in the Bible, a reference made back to God drying up the waters. It's a consistent theme throughout the Bible. So when somebody doubts the miracles of God, they're not just doubting one certain passage in the Word of God. They're doubting the Word of God over and over and over and over again. Because God reestablishes the miracles that He's done when it comes to creation. He withholdeth the waters and they dry up. He sendeth them out and they overturn the earth. That's a reference to the flood. And again, the flood is mentioned repeatedly in the Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Matthew, as well as it is in the book of Genesis. The Bible is a book full of miracles. And to try to explain them away is to go nuts. To try to come up, every time God does something, to try to come up with a natural excuse, a natural cause, will just drive you batty. Because you're trying to explain away God in a natural realm, and your mind isn't functioned, your mind isn't constructed to do that. It'll blow a gasket. God is the God of creation. He withholdeth the waters and they dry up. He sendeth them out and they overturn the earth. Verse 16. With Him is strength and wisdom. Alright, the same thing that was said at the beginning of verse 13. With Him is wisdom and strength. These bookends, wisdom and strength, describe the character of God. He is all wise and He is all powerful. He's omniscient and He's omnipotent. He knows all, He sees all, and He has all power. Best thing to do is just submit to Him. Now, who art thou that repliest against God, O man? There's no sense fighting it. You just accept it. You submit to God. With Him is strength and wisdom. Verse 16, the deceived and the deceiver are His. That is a scary statement. The deceived and the deceiver are His. You know who the deceiver is, don't you? That's Satan. You know who the deceived are? All those whose eyes the deceiver has blinded concerning the gospel of Christ. The deceived can be men of extreme intelligence, women of great knowledge, of great political acumen. They can know and know a whole lot of things, but they're still deceived. Because they haven't come to know the most important thing. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The deceived and the deceiver are His. The Bible says if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. So the deceiver and the deceived all belong to God. He takes care of the crafty. He has power. He has power over them. There's no means by which they can deceive God. He has power over the counselors. Verse 17, He leadeth counselors away spoiled. That's why we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the counselors many times are not giving strength and wisdom that comes from God. Look at Psalm chapter 2. Not too far over. God says, He leadeth counselors away spoiled. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's the counsel of the ungodly. That's the counselors who God leads away. Those that are anti-God, anti-Christian. God says about them in verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them. Who is that? The rulers that take counsel together. God shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. The kings of the earth have no power over God. God has power over them. When you and I are distraught over the direction of our politics, our politicians, our government, our president, we need to remember that the hand of the king, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth whithersoever He willeth. And nobody has more power than God. God can intervene. God can intercede. God can interrupt. And so our faith needs to be in God. We don't need to be completely distraught when we see the thing. Some people get so caught up politically in the things that they, you know, if you stopped and really examined the world from a humanistic standpoint and from a moral and Christian standpoint, humanly speaking, looking at it, we would be overwhelmed. If it weren't for God, if it weren't for knowing that He won't allow anything to happen that's outside of His power and realm, and outside of His control. And so the Bible says He leadeth counselors away spoiled, verse 17, and maketh the judges fools. Those that think they're so wise, and those that ought to be wise, those that are appointed to that position ought to be men or women of wisdom. And yet God says, in comparison, they're fools when it comes to God. All the judges would recognize that. And I'm not saying that they don't. There's some that don't seem to acknowledge that all the knowledge they have amassed over the years isn't even the tip of a needle compared to the knowledge of God. And that they need to be humble and submissive to the will of God and to the things of God, instead of defiance against them. Man thinking that his own opinions and his own values somehow put a dent into the character of God or the being of God. It's just foolishness. And the Bible says He maketh the judges fools. His power over the courts, His power over crowns, verse 18, He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. Whether it's a president of the United States or a dictator in Cuba or Venezuela or Nicaragua, God has control over all of them. And God can raise them up and dispose of them at His whim and at His will. And sometimes we wonder why He doesn't. And why does Fidel Castro live this long and have such oppression in Cuba and all these things? We don't understand, but God's working a purpose through that. We know that by faith. We know that by what the Bible says, that He has them in His power and He can do what He wants with them. But the Bible says that He looses the bonds of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. Verse 20, He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. Taketh away the understanding of the aged. Again, we talk about experience amassing a bunch of wisdom or knowledge, but it can easily be taken away at a whim. God can mess with the mind. That's a fearful thing. That's not to say when somebody has problems of the mind that it's the touch of God punishing them, but God can do that. Especially for a believer that turns his or her back on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's confusion. That's mental instability, and it causes problems because you can't live for the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him and serve Him and then turn away from it and stay mentally stable. Because the things that have been implanted to you by faith in Christ and salvation are not compatible to the world, and so to turn away from one and back to the other, you're a fish out of water no matter where you go. And things just don't get along. And the Bible says that He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged, verse 21. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He has power over the conquerors. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. How many times has God used the peasant to overthrow the politician? Use the average person to get victory over the powers that be. It's not just a Robin Hood scenario. But God is able to work. God is able to move in things. I was reading just the other day about two Baptist preachers moving into, I think it was Mississippi, back in the 1790, back in that day. And they were moving into Mississippi, taking the gospel as they came from Virginia and going west into Tennessee and Kentucky and over into Mississippi. And Mississippi was still under control of Spain at that time, and the organized religion was the Catholic Church. And no one was allowed to preach anything other than Catholicism. And these two Baptist preachers were over there causing quite a stir. Because not only were they preaching the positive, preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, but they were preaching the negative, what's wrong with the Mass, what's wrong with the Pope. And they got people stirred up, and the plan, and this just blew my mind, the plan was Spain was going to go in and capture these two preachers and sell them into slavery in Mexico working down in the mines. And I thought, man, what a price to pay for the cause of the gospel. You know, to be taken captive in Mississippi and free country and taken and put down there where nobody that ever knew them would ever hear from them again. And of course, you know, the positive side says, wow, what a ministry. Preach to all the Mexican slaves down there and all that kind of, but can you imagine being taken captive and sent down there and just separated? Now, fortunately, they got wind of it and they got away and they rushed back over into North Carolina. Everything was fine. God allowed them to hear the whisper of the wind or whatever it was, and they caught on to the plot and got away ahead of time. But just imagine some of the things that those powers that be behind closed doors plan and plot, and knowing that many times God overthrows it without even knowing He's overthrowing something. We never know what He's doing. How many things happen that could be bad and negative that God overthrows that we never even know about? And Job says that in verse number 21, that He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. Verse 22, He discovereth deep things out of darkness. That's what we're talking about. Who's going to plan or plot anything that God isn't going to know about? Who's going to devise any means that God doesn't know about it while they're actually sitting there thinking about it? I mean, as we said, before they talk about it, they think about it, and God already knows it right then. You're not going to beat it. And Job says, He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Verse 23, continuing with his thought of God's power, He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. There's something to remember. Who is it that increases the nations? Who is it that has the power to destroy them? Is it our politicians? Is it our military? Is it our political system? It's God. That's why we emphasize, as believers, we emphasize the need of God in America. Because according to the Bible, He's the one that increases nations. We need Him to increase. The stimulus package isn't going to work unless it's the plan of God. National health care isn't going to work unless it's the plan of God. These things that man devises are not going to pull us out of the doldrums, pull us out of unemployment, pull us out of these things. It's God that can do that. And so we need to be beseeching and seeking God's will in everything that's made. And sad to say, God's left out of the equation most of the time. He's given lip service at best. He is sought after when things get really, really desperate. You know, when the war breaks out or 9/11 happens, then people fall down on their knees and pray. But then when things get back to normal, God's just put back on the shelf. It's He that increases the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. The size of countries are dependent upon God. The borders of countries. You say, well, God's not interested in those things. He's interested in everything. Everything that happens, every minute detail of history and of the future is all overseen by God. And nothing happens that is without significance. And we are going to be amazed when we get into heaven and get that perfect knowledge at the immense wisdom of God in everything that we had no concept of. Our knowledge is so limited. The wisest or most intelligent among us as a human race still is nothing compared to God. And when that smartest, wisest, most intelligent believer gets to heaven, you know what I mean when I say that, because the smartest, wisest, intelligent non-believer doesn't get to heaven, so he won't get to experience the full exposure to everything he never comprehended before. He'll just be in a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But the wisest, not most knowledgeable believer that ends up in heaven is going to be amazed at the minuteness of his knowledge of things in the total package. When we get to heaven and realize how much we didn't scratch the surface. We didn't even begin to scratch the surface of what we can know about the things of God. And so eternity, I don't know if it's going to be a learning process. You know, people debate that sometimes. When you get to heaven, do you have all knowledge right at once? Or do you get the privilege of the Lord explaining things and informing you and increasing your knowledge? I don't know how it works up there. But I know we're going to enjoy it. I know we're going to enjoy learning about God or knowing about God. And hopefully, I almost hope it's a process of doing so when we get up there. A process of looking back and seeing the hand of God. Not just automatically having all the knowledge. Or if you have all the knowledge at one time, then you get to go back with that perfect knowledge and look at situations. I don't know how it works. But it's going to be a magnificent time. And that's why in heaven you never get tired of praising Him. Because you're constantly realizing or seeing things from heaven's perspective that you saw from earth's perspective and didn't know why it worked out that way. Not just personal circumstances, but worldwide circumstances. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He has power over the size of countries. Verse 24, He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth. He has power over the sovereigns of the nations, whether it be a king or a president, an emperor, whatever the dictator, whatever the ruler might be. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. Egypt was the most mighty of all nations back in the early days of the Bible, back in the book of Exodus. The greatest, the mightiest, the most populated of all nations. Yet when God wanted to deliver His people, there wasn't a thing in the world they could do about it. Rome was the mightiest of nations during New Testament times. Yet when God wanted things in Rome to wind down and burn out, boy, did they ever. The sovereign and the size of countries is in the hand of God. In verse 25 it says, they grope in the dark without light. This is talking about political leaders. They grope in the light with in the dark without light. Doesn't that sound like it should have been in today's paper? Speaking about today's politicians, I mean, do they really have any clue? I mean, they propose things sometimes. They propose things that are preposterous. They propose things that you just look at from a normal mind and say, that can't work. That isn't going to work. You know, they bail out the auto industry, and then a month later they're declaring bankruptcy anyways. So what happened to all the money that went to the bailout? You just sit back, and of course it takes more brilliant minds than us to not understand it. Not only do we not understand it, they don't understand it either. The common problem is just throw money at it, that'll fix anything. And God says, they grope in the dark without light, and He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. The sovereigns of nations without God are without light, and they stagger like a drunken man in the night. Such is the need for God in the ruling of nations. Such is the need for God in the direction of nations. Without God's hand and God's leadership, you become a third world country. And that's not to say that all third world countries have denied God, but there's got to be a pattern there somewhere. There's got to be something that's going on, because God says to them He can do whatever He wants to with them. Would to God that what He does with our country is finds people that are seeking His direction and His will so that He'd be pleased to bless us. Chapter 13 of Job. Job begins here to again criticize his friends for their lack of support in not helping him. And he says in chapter 13 of verse 1, Lo, mine eye has seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. You know, the wisdom of Job, as he's expressed it already, almost exceeds anybody I've ever known. The wisdom of Job in his day, in the midst of his suffering, without a Bible to go to. I mean, just what he said in these verses this morning, from verse 12 down to verse 25 of chapter 12, is extreme wisdom. And it didn't come from the Bible because he didn't have one. That's not to say we don't need the Bible for wisdom. We should be that much wiser because we have the Bible to go back to. But too much time, our wisdom isn't coming from God. Our wisdom is coming from CNN, and our wisdom is coming from Newsweek or Time Magazine or whatever else is out there. Our wisdom comes from them and not from the Word of God. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. These three friends, miserable friends, physicians of no value, these three friends thought that they were smarter than Job. So they were condescending in their attitude toward Job, and they were wrong. And God's going to take these condescending friends of His and take them down a few rungs when He puts Job up a few rungs, and then they'll get it all figured out right. But they're speaking condescendingly toward Job, acting like they know everything and Job doesn't realize or Job doesn't know it. And they're lacking the humility to be a help. If you want to help somebody, you've got to be humble. If you want to assist someone, you've got to be humble. You've got to offer your counsel, offer your advice, offer your help, but not speak condescendingly to someone. That's not going to help them. And that's what happens here. They failed to help Job. What you know, the same do I know also. I'm not inferior unto you. Verse 3. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. They failed to help Job. Three friends. You'd think at least one out of the three would have gotten it down right and helped him. And he says in verse number 4. Not only did they fail to help, but they failed to be honest. He says in verse 4, But ye are forgers of lies. In other words, the things that they've said about Job aren't true. What did they say? That he'd committed some sin that had caused the punishment of God to come upon him. Be careful in condemning other people. Be careful in judging other people. When you've got the Word of God to condemn sin or judge sin, that's one thing. But just making a statement, making a judgment call on why somebody's going through their trial is a dangerous thing to do. Because you could be wrong. And so the best thing to do is to give the best counsel you can, as Job's going to say in verse number 4, or verse number 5, if they'd been silent, it would have been much better. And sometimes that's all you can do. Weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. And he says in verse 4, But ye are forgers of lies, they fail to heal, ye are all physicians of no value. Well, who wants to go to a physician like that? Who wants to go to a doctor that can't help you? who wants to go to a forger or a physician of no value. And they failed to heal Job. They failed to take care of his need. They failed to soothe his misery and his comfort and calm his heart. He says in verse 5, "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace." They failed to hold their peace. "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." Isn't that the truth? If you just keep your mouth shut, it'd be a lot wiser. If you just wouldn't speak so quickly. Well, what's the old expression? I'm going to stumble. It's better to keep your mouth shut and people think you a fool than to open it and prove it. And a lot of times people, I'm just convinced we talk too much. We just talk too much. I'm not going to give any examples. I'm just going to say we just talk too much. And in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. It's not that we need to be secretive and private. It's just a lot of things aren't intended to be shared. A lot of things don't need to be shared. You know, we say TMI, too much information. You know, why do you need to know this? You know, the need to know is the way the military puts it. And there's a lot of truth in that. And again, I'm not for everybody turning into a monk and, you know, and going into silence and all that, but there's just too much talking, too many words. And Job says that about his friends. "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." You want to be wise? Keep your mouth shut. The old expression, you got two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much as you talk. A lot of wisdom in that. Coming from an old-timer like Job. Somebody from that long ago. Hear now, he says in verse 6, "Hear now my reasoning, and hearken." They failed to hearken. "Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for Him? Will you accept His person? Will you contend for God?" They failed to honor God. They have a lot of problems, don't they? Job's pointing them out. One is they failed to help. They failed to be honest. They failed to heal. They failed to hold their peace. They failed to hearken. They failed to honor God. Verse 9, he said, "Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, so do you so mock him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons." We need to stop there this morning because our time's up. We'll pick up. We'll start back in verse number 7 when we continue. It won't be next week. Brother Walker will be with us next week. So it'll be 2 weeks from today. But Job reproving those physicians of no value. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. Father, what tremendous wisdom and instruction and knowledge is contained in it. Father, what neglect we so often give to it. Father, we always give to it. We just don't spend enough time in your word. We desire to be wise. We desire to be good counselors to other people and good friends. And yet, Father, we don't go to the source book that gives us the information to do those things. Help us, Father, to be not only hearers but doers of the word. And help us, Father, to make your word part of our daily life that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. Be better servants of God and be better servants of man in this life. Bless your word, we ask this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've got 13.